Good evening, listener. Welcome to the Hutton Christmas Play by the Hutton Orbital Performers. This year, we'll be performing A Christmas Mug, with sincere apologies to Charles Dickens.
Among other public buildings in a certain planetary installation, for which for many reasons it'll be prudent to refrain from mentioning, and to which I'll assign no fictitious name, there is one anciently common to most towns, great or small, to wit, a workhouse. And in this workhouse were made, on a day and date which I need not trouble myself to repeat, inasmuch as it can of be no possible consequence to the listener, in this stage of the business at all event, the items of mortality whose name is prefixed to the head of this chapter. Inside the domes, covered by a blanket of snow, the population of this far-flung outpost were unusually happy. However, this one particular workhouse, under the sign of the Mug, is the scene of a rather unusual request. There's a smattering of dissent amongst the poor and wretched specimens that inhabit its walls. Pilots, young and old, who were without a mug of their own. These unfortunates could not afford even a shit-tier mug, and were forced to work 14 hours a day processing bio-waste by hand, in order to earn a bowl of gruel made from stale algae, and one day, if they're very lucky, finally earn a small piece of clay, in order they might form a handle to attach to a miserable, cracked cereal bowl, and claim this as their mug. It is their mealtime. Voices are hushed, as punishments in this place are severe, and no one wants to catch the eye of Mr. Grumble the Beadle, or that of his Momus Bog Spaniel. A young pilot slowly pushes back his chair, picks up the tiny, filthy, cracked ball that's held his gruel, and slowly makes his way to the front.
Please, sir, I want a mug.
A mug? Master Lemony Twist wants a mug?
Yes, sir, I want a mug, for all I have is a bowl, sir. That is not a mug, and without a mug of my own, I will surely catch mods, sir.
Mods?
Mug ownership deficiency syndrome, sir. It's a terrible thing. Once you have mods, all manner of terrible diseases can befall a person. I have heard of sufferers losing limbs, or start denying climate change, which, as everyone knows, is fatal. At least in the long run.
Mugs don't grow on trees, lad.
But what about mug trees?
Shush! You can't just ask for a mug, boy. Mugs must be earned. No commander, no matter how small and how cute, has ever got a mug by asking for one. Mr. Trumpington has almost all of the mugs in the galaxy, but he's still not happy. He did not haul all those mugs all this way just for you to ask for more. And what kind of a name is Lemony Twist, anyway?
Mr. Trumpington owns the workhouse, sir. He named me, sir. Something to do with being easier to remember if it goes with gin. I was luckier than the next boy, Olive Honestick.
Oh, get out, boy. We don't want you and your dangerous ideas on the equality of mug ownership infecting the others in this place. Oh, before you go, it's a foul night. Let me check the weather. Yes, it's snowing. Out you go, then.
Here!
Me?
Yes, you, come in here, out the snow.
What is this?
It's an old SRV people carrier that the president used in the last election. Can't you see on the side where it says, we send 20,000 mugs a day to the Thargoids, vote for me, and they can all be ours. Except that ours is crossed out and mine's been painted over the top.
Who are you?
I'm the Artful Bodger. I work for an old scrope called Fakin, and we make money by selling bespoke Hutton mugs.
Fake mugs, you mean?
Not fakes as such, more homages, as you might say. We also sell some on Galbay and Bitsy.
But That's against the spirit of the mug. It only helps the person selling them. It's not for charity.
That's it, look out. Ooh, here comes a punter now. Hello, sir. Nice night, sir.
Is it? How can it be? You're obviously poor. I bet you haven't got a mug to your name, and you probably lie awake dreaming of cups.
That's where you're wrong, sir. I have here a selection of the finest Hutton mugs, sir. Genuine articles. Look, they say for the mug and everything. Only 50 credits and I'm cutting my own throat.
Bah, fake mugs. Get away with you and keep your hands off my hip flask. I know your sort.
Markie was a hollow me, to begin with. There's no doubt whatever about that. The register of his digitization was signed by a clergyman, the mission giver, the bondsman, and the chief engineer. Cecil signed it, and Cecil's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Markie was as hollow as an inflatable doll. Cecil knew he was missing all right. How could it be otherwise? Cecil and he were partners in the bar. Cecil was his sole friend. Visitors to the bar might not be aware of Markie's vanishing, since even though Markie had gone to solo during beta, Cecil had not removed his name from the neon light that adorned the entrance, so that the sign above the door still read, Trumpington and Markie's Bar and Barbecue. Inside the establishment behind the bar stands Bob Scratchit, polishing glasses with an old rag that appears to be the corner of a blanket, and indeed, in the corner of the filthy scrap, the letters L-V-I-N can still be seen. As Cecil crosses the threshold, a young pilot, dressed in a fresh flight suit, with a far too cheerful look on his face, steps from the shadows towards Cecil and extends his hand.
Good morning, Uncle. For the mug.
Don't you feather mug me. I wish everyone would stop going on about those ruddy mugs. Don't you know, I've got a hangover.
As Cecil heads back to the bar to hunt for some painkillers, his nephew turns to Bob, who is carefully packing some nuts.
He's in a good mood this morning, isn't he?
Yeah, I think everyone's been asking about their Christmas mugs again. It's drove him to drink. Well, drink more. I think he's been at the lighter fluid this morning.
I've got no idea what's got into him. We were thinking of inviting him round for Christmas. But he's not really into the spirit of it. He's turned mean.
No, don't be unpleasant about him. He's got a very important job. I mean, these mugs, he brought them all here. Been left with a very important job. Keep them safe. Make sure we don't run out.
Even the ones with the handle on upside down?
We don't talk about that. You'll set him off again.
He's coming back. Uncle, I've come to invite you round for Christmas. I thought we could go out and start handing out mugs like we did last year. In fact, you're welcome to stay for the 12 days of Christmas, and we can spread some Hutton cheer like we always do.
Bah, fake mugs. Hutton cheer? Everyone wants a mug. Keep asking for the ruddy things. All day they bother me with mugs this, mugs that. It's nothing but mugs, 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 mugs. You're only putting on this event so you can get your hands on my mug.
But we've got loads of them in stock. All these colonial ones, for starters, you know, behind the bar.
People can't come in here ordering drinks and asking for something with a handle. They can have straight glasses like everybody else, or the sippy cups for the clumsy ones. Anyway, it's closing time. I'm off to mix myself a few cocktails. You lock up, and no touching the mugs. They're special. I don't want to hear another word about them.
As Cecil locks the drinks cabinet, taking a sip from a bottle or two as he does, Scratchit looks forlornly at one of the mugs, picks up his coat, and turns to leave.
You might not celebrate it anymore, Mr. Trumpington, but I'm going to say it anyway. For the mug! And you know, You're always welcome with me, Tim, and Mrs. Scratchit.
Bah! Fake mugs!
Cecil made his way home, alone, through the crowded walkways of Fort Mug, past wassailing Vikings, the crowds of people, faces wreathed in smiles, whilst his was set in a grim scowl. At last he reached his own quarters, and upon the door was a pair of snockers, carved likenesses of whom visitors would use to announce their presence, if such a thing should ever happen, which it did not. Now, it's a fact that there was nothing at all unusual about these snockers, except that they were very large. You must bear in mind that Cecil had not given one thought to his missing partner in all of the years since his departure to Solo. So it was with astonishment that as Cecil reached for the snockers, they were mysteriously and inexplicably transformed into Marky's likeness. Cecil rubbed his eyes and checked the level in his hip flask and looked once more, but the snockers were their normal shape once again. Shaking his head and muttering, Cecil entered his quarters and sat down in front of a video channel showing a roaring fire, in order that he might feel some warmth. He heard a door bang open and footsteps approaching. Something hideous came through the door and stood before Cecil, wearing a ghostly Stetson on its ghostly head.
I know you. My word. You're back naked.
Nay, hoss, that ain't me. I'm the hollow me of Jacob Markey. Come to warn ye.
I mean, why have you got no clothes on? It's not big, and it's certainly not clever. On second thoughts, it is quite big. That must be awfully useful when you're trying to tie your shoelaces. But it's still not clever, not unless it's prehensile. What are you doing?
You see me now, wearing the suit I forged in life. I spent my time in solitary pursuits, so I had no need of clothes. And I've come to warn you, Cecil, that you too are destined for a similar fate. Your love of mugs dooms you to Solo. The Hutton Helper tells me so. It's required of every pilot that they should spend time with their fellow commanders and travel in wings and squadrons far and wide across the galaxy. If a person does not do so in life, then they're doomed to Solo for eternity.
Marky, tell me more. Speak comfort to me. Southern comfort, as only you can.
I have none to give, Cecil. I'm only permitted to say a little more. I must spend my days as a hollow me, doomed to wander through Solo, invisible to all who enjoy each other's company. Hear me! My time is nearly gone.
I will, Jacob, but you've taken an awfully long time before coming to visit me. It feels like years. The least you can do is stay for a little glass of something.
Alas, in Solo, I was limited to the economical mode, and my hollow ship was nothing but a diamondback with the jump range of a schoolyard skipping rope. Now quit your yammering and listen for once. You'll be haunted by three spirits.
That's a good idea. Whiskey, rum, and some lovely artisan gin.
Not even those. I'm not that dang obvious, dagnabbit. These are hollow characters, and without their visits, you cannot hope to escape your fate. Expect the first tomorrow morning. As the clock strikes one, the second, but 1 hour later, and the third when the last chime of three is sounded. Farewell, Cecil, and remember what I have said.
I know I get up a lot in the night to visit the little trucker's room, but that seems excessive. Goodbye, Marky, and good grief! That's a strange way for a hollow me to disappear, bending over and disappearing up his own fundament.
And Cecil climbed into bed, and despite the excitement of the last few minutes, possibly aided by the contents of his now empty hip flask, he fell instantly asleep. As the clock in the hall strikes one, Cecil is startled awake. There's a glowing figure standing at the end of his bed, dressed in lycra and sporting a cycling helmet.
Cecil B. Trumpington.
Who the blazes are you? Are you a hollow me?
I'm the hollow me of Mugs past, and I'm here to take you on a journey.
On your bike?
No, we're going to Hutton. Remember the route?
Yes, I could do it blindfold. Okay, maybe a loop of shame or a shoop of lame or two, but it's only 0.22 light years, or at least it was back then.
The room, then the station, then the planet. Fall away. Stars flash ever faster, the numbers count down, and an orbital surges into view, lights flashing. Ships are everywhere, dropping cargo, scooping, queuing by the pads, hundreds of ships of all sizes coming and going. Passing the ships, the Hollow Me sweeps past them and in through a docking port marked No Entry, and then up to a busy bar in the station.
Hang on. I know this place. It's the bar. But there are no Mugs. Not one. And everyone looks so happy.
This is before the Mug. This is the community goal consigned to the history books. Thousands of pilots with only one thing on their mind, working together to bring scrap for the idea of the Mug.
That all sounds very, very foolish. Not even for a real Mug.
You've forgotten what it's like to be an Open. Let me bring you forward a little, to Val Hailing.
Yeah, I know that. That's where Vikings live, isn't it? Oh, look, there's Ramforth. Hello, Ramforth.
Buffoon. He can't see you. No. Not even if you do that. No. Now, stop it! Do you remember the year you saved the Vikings during you? You brought them drinks when they ran out.
The lights flash further back. Back to Hutton. It's quiet. Sitting at the end of the bar, on her own, is a startling-looking young woman. Red hair in a fetching bob, slim face in a stern expression.
You recognise her, don't you?
No. Oh, hang on. Is it? Yes, it is. It's my darling Lael. Oh, I'd forgotten how she used to look back in Beta, when she had hair and before the accident. And look, it's Alvin. He's so small.
You were happy then. What happened?
Oh, we used to go out to places like Lavecon with other pilots. But the mission, it was important. I left. I had to go to Colonia. They needed the shipment. It's not my fault. Torture me no more, Spirit. Take me to bed. Hey, I don't mean like that, for goodness sake.
The scene flickers again. And they're back in Cecil's rooms. He's shivering more than a little, and the ghost tucks him up under the covers and places a hand on his forehead.
Two more Hollow Me's will visit you this evening.
It's not too late for you, Cecil B. Trumpington. The spirit of the mug is within your grasp. You just need to open your eyes.
They are open. That's why I'm awake at this unreasonable hour in the morning. Bah! Fake mugs.
Time passes. For the third time that evening, Cecil is startled by an apparition.
Oh, bugger. The gravity is on the blink again. Will you come down from the ceiling?
Hello, it's me. Oh, bother. I'm halfway through the floor. I'm not used to being a hollow me. That's better. It's my turn.
You're wearing a nightie. For goodness sake, woman, it's see-through.
I thought this made me look more like a spirit.
Now, I can see why they call you Flossie, though. That underwear. Good gracious, woman. Last time I saw something that stringy, the Don was serving it with a nice ragu. Enough to give Wrongway palpitations.
Stop peeking. Don't think I won't pan you. I'm here to show you the mugs of Christmas present.
Well, I do like presents, you know. Ow!
As Flossie takes Cecil by the hand, they start sweeping through the station, passing through doorways and into home after home. At one, there's a pilot hunched over a stand, putting the final touches to a miniature figure. Through the wall they go, and there's a man in a rather tatty military uniform, lifting item after item off a 3D printer. One house has a picture of a volcano, another a selection of rather adorable-looking spaniels. Down the street, at the haberdasher...
Yeah, I do like that word, a haberdashery.
Down the street at the haberdasher...
Yeah.
A machine swiftly embroiders the album... The emblem of a station onto small round patches. On the street corner, a team of pilots, all dressed in T-shirts emblazoned with the word Hotbox, are singing songs together and have started a snowball fight. Shouts of mug echo across the square. In the skies above, wings of four lift off, all sporting matching decals on their flanks and heading for a mining outing. A diary appears in the air, floating in front of the pair of them.
Take a look. It's all here in black and white. Everything. Your friends, wingmen, squadron members, the lot. The things they make, the fun they have. They're not doing it for a reward.
Date after date flicks past. Mining. Going for gold. Around the verse in 80 days. 10 in 10. The 12 mugs of Christmas. Back past CGs and CQC, distant worlds, and trips to Beagle Point.
All of this. Do you remember, Cecil? It was all for the mug. Let me take you to see one more thing. You remember the scratchets?
How can I forget? They're mug-obsessed, a lot of them. My word, this looks rather like North Britain, doesn't it? And what on earth is that they're eating?
It's a haggis.
There's Bob and Mrs. Scratchit. And their son. Well, what's his name? Tim. Look, what's wrong with his head? He's small, but it's all swollen.
Space mumps. Easily avoided by a little inoculation with a mug.
Am I getting a mug for Christmas this year, Dad?
They're too precious and rare for folks like us. There was a time when everyone was vaccinated with a mug, but these days, well, just like you, Tiny Tim, people started catching things, but it will all be okay. Here, have this. It's my mini mug. It's small, like you, Tim. Very small. And slightly fragile.
Will this cure me of my mods, Dad? I mean, I know it's not a real mug or anything, but am I going to feel better?
I'm sure you'll be fine, lad. Right as rain tomorrow. Look, if you finish your haggis, I'll let you have a tea cake.
I do like tunnocks, Dad. It's nice of Cecil to let you go home and spend time with us.
Show me no more of this. It's not my fault. I can't be responsible for everyone spreading nasty diseases. They should wash their hands more, like Mr. Hankey. Would you look at his grotesquely swollen head? Actually, no, I can't look. I want to go back to bed.
You've forgotten what it's all about, haven't you? It's not about the mug. It's just for the mug. Mods isn't cured by a piece of frameshift metal panel beaten into a drinking vessel. It's what's behind the mug.
What? The bag of coffee over there? Lovely stuff. Makes my eyeballs vibrate. It's perfect with a shot of something potent in it. Hang on. Mods? That little tyke's got mods. But that's curable.
As a worried Cecil settles back down to sleep, and the hollow me of Flossie drifts back through the wall with a ghostly,
"Oh, bother."
The clock ticks on. As the clock strikes, and Cecil awakes once more, he sees a figure unlike the other hollow characters that have disturbed his sleep to date. All he can see is a tall, thin creature covered in a tattered robe, as if someone had thrown an old sheet over a hat stand. Nothing can be seen of the inhabitant of the garment, except two glowing orbs where Cecil assumed its eyes might live, and a shock of ginger hair.
Am I in the presence of the hollow me of mugs yet to come?
The creature did not answer directly, but part of its garment raised slowly, and a protuberance lifted and pointed towards Cecil.
Now you see here, you may be a hollow me, and I'm sure you've got your reasons, but I had exactly enough of that sort of thing from Marky. Put it back where it came from.
Seeming to ignore Cecil, the protuberance was raised still further, until it came into the light cast by the dim glow from an overcharged Hutton mug.
Oh, I do beg your pardon. It's your finger. Strange-looking thing. Almost skeletal. And it's an odd colour. Good grief! You're made from bits of deck plate. Deck plates that never managed to be made into mugs. Lead on, hollow spirit. I know that you're here as an intervention.
It was as if they didn't move around the planet, but that the planet moved around them. All at once, Cecil found himself in the commodities market, with the hollow me at his side.
No, I didn't know him either. I just know that last night he was switched to solo in his sleep.
What was the matter with him?
No one knows. It certainly wasn't mods. The old bugger had more mugs than anyone's ever seen.
What has he done with them, then?
I haven't heard. Jettisoned them into space, for all I know. Here, did you hear what happened to that little lad?
Tell me, Spirit. Who are they speaking about?
The Spirit, as was his wont, said nothing, but gestured with his bony digit. And Cecil found himself on a lonely ice world, standing beside two canisters.
Where are we, Spirit? I don't recognise this place, and it's really cold.
The digit droops down to point down at one of the canisters.
You do know that performance enhancers can help with that, don't you? or so I've been told. Oh, my! That's a terrible sight!
I heard that the lad Space Monks got out of control. With mods, it's always a risk. His face swelled up so much that one day he couldn't fit his remlock, and his father had to leave him out there in an escape pod with only a tourist beacon and a souvenir for company.
What's that in the glass panel of this pod? Good grief! It's a face! A face that's turned blue and pressed so hard into the glass that his nose is all smooshed up. Oh, that's awful! It's Scratchit's boy. He's out here, all alone, and frozen like a giant knobbly feast bar with a little stick at the bottom. And what's in the other canister? It's got a brass plate. It says, Property of Cecil B. Trumpington. It's my mugs! They've crash-landed next to him. Oh, if only someone had given that poor lad one, he wouldn't look like a fast-frozen Mekon. Oh, if only I hadn't gone to solo like old Marky. I can't look. It's too horrible. Spirit, is it too late?
The spirit shook its hooded head and firmly poked the extended digit into his chest, just above his heart. Cecil grabbed the finger and pulled. There was a slight parp, and the hood and robe collapsed. Cecil found himself back in his bedroom, clutching an empty bottle of tonic. He drifted into fitful sleep, but finally lay very still indeed. As the sun rose over Fort Mug, Cecil yawned, stretched, and looked surprisingly fresh given the amount he drank the night before. He dressed in his finest tweeds, grabbed a quick Barocca and Alka-Seltzer XS from a mug, then stopped as he spied himself in the mirror, mug in hand, and remembered.
My word! I'm still in open! I think I've had an epiphany. It's not for the mug, it's for the mug. I've been such an idiot. Oh, I hope it's not too late.
As he charges out of his room, pulling one green sock up, he barrels into a couple of young scamps.
For the mug? In a mug, I say. Are those some of those pretend mugs? Here, let me buy one from you, and you can go and spend the money on a real one. Can't have you getting poorly now, can we?
Why, thank you, Mr. Trumpington, sir, and for the mug to you, too.
In fact, boys, here's a void opal. You get down to Muggsy's Emporium and buy the largest one you can find. Take it to the Scratchit quarters. Mind you stick together, though. It's much more fun if you're in a wing.
Right you are, sir. One mug coming right up.
Cecil rushes down to the bar, hurriedly opens the door, and without a second thought, smashes the glass on the display cabinet, scooping mug after mug into a waiting sack. As he rushes out of the door, he starts throwing them around. Passers by catch some of them, others fall to the ground with a crash.
Oh, don't worry about that. It's not having a mug that's important. It's giving a mug. Here, look, have two. One for each hand. One man, two mugs.
Rounding a corner, he opens the door to his nephew's quarters.
Come here, boy. I want a word.
Look, if you're coming here at this time of year with all that nonsense about fake mugs, I don't want to hear it. You're not spoiling Christmas.
I don't care about fake mugs. Look, here, have the lot.
Have you been drinking?
Well, not yet, but I will be. I'll be doing it in company, and I don't care what from. Could be a shoe for all I care. I'm leaving. Tomorrow, for Hutton. I've got a date to keep.
He's finally cracked. Off his rocker.
As he slowly calmed himself, Cecil walked through the station, staring in wonder at the rest of his neighbours from Colonia. Every time he said the words, "For the mug," he was rewarded with a warm smile and a "For the mug" back. Not one item changed hands. Not one person inquired about real mugs.
"Scratch it! Scratch it! Come here! Where's that delightful son of yours? My word, boy, your head looks really unpleasant. Here, look, I've got some of Nurse Wyeth's special ointment. Ah, great, they brought the mug too."
I don't know what to say, Mr. Trumpington. This is too generous."
"You see, that's just it. That's the cure. Now, where's the haggis? I want a slice before I leave."
"Does this mean my head won't explode now, Dad?"
"It does indeed, my lad. We owe Mr. Trumpington a big for the mug."
"For the mug, sir."
"Oh, for the mug to you, my boy, and a very muggy Christmas. Cheers."
That was A Christmas Mug by the Hutton Orbital Performers, starring Cecil as a grumpy old git, Mr. Cow as Bob Scratchit, Mia as Ever So Tiny Tim, Flossie as a Christmas present in a nightie, Russ as the long-lost voice of Mugs Past, Buck Naked as Jacob Markey, Hober as the sound of a door and a stunt appendage, Dead Meat as both the Rude Mechanicals and Lemony Twist, Rampage as the ever-eager nephew, Palantir as Even Ruder Mechanicals and the Artful Bodger, Amelia as the third shepherd on the left, one of Father Christmas's elves, a Roman soldier, and Rudolph. You didn't hear them, but they were there. And the ever-mellifluous Commander Wotherspoon, narrating so we don't have to. Thank you.